Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour. We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England.
To the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're continuing part two of the Phantom Rape Gang, part two. So let me just read out from the top. Once again, I've got to thank Dave for the great script and the slides for this evening. A great work, buddy. English Defence League radio show, The Phantom Rape Gang, Part 2. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff Dangerman Mitchell. And my wingman is Dangerous Dave Milner. Tonight we'll be discussing the last half of the Phantom Wraith game. As we air the concluding audio portion of this extraordinary documentary by journalist, author and human rights pioneer, Mr. Tommy Robinson, we will go through the details of what this work reveals. Only servants of the dark powers live in the shadow of evil because they fear the light of truth. It is sometimes harsh, but it leads to everlasting salvation. No surrender ever. Let me continue. The full video version of the Phantom Wraith Gang is available from Tommy Robinson's official Rumble page, and that's on his HTTPS Rumble.com user, Tommy Robinson official. So there you go, guys. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing, and that was by the late, great Edmund Burke back in the 1770s. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Of course, that was by the late, great President John F. Kennedy. So let me pass the mic along to my friend and my colleague across the pond in the great Vermont there. Good evening, good afternoon, Dave, and welcome to you, yourself, and all the listeners that might be listening in across the globe and that. So with that, Dave, over to you, buddy.
Well, thank you, Jeff, and of course, we're not forgetting our listeners off of Earth. Yes, we know we have many. Yeah. at any rate, yeah, it's great to be here with you guys. As you know, the weather's been a little bit cool here in the United States. Night before last, we dropped down to minus 27 Celsius. A bit nippy. I can tell you, Jeff, the brass monkeys were banging on my door wanting to come in. But it's better now, and we're prepared to bring you guys the last three segments of Tommy Robinson's extraordinary, yes, documentary, The Phantom Wraith Gang. This is the Tommy Robinson child sex trafficking gang documentary that you thought you'd probably never hear on this program, and you probably never thought that Tommy Robinson would produce it, but he did. And you got to hear the first half last Sunday, and just to remind everyone, these shows are archived over at, at our blogtalkradio.com page, Jeff's blogtalkradio.com page for the English Defense League radio show. The previous program is archived there, and it's also over at the TECN.TV radio page. So you can grab that wherever you want it. You'll get not only the first half of the documentary, but you'll get our commentary that goes along with it. And I think Jeff has, added quite a bit to this. And I think that I, kind of lend a hand a little bit. And we're going to try and do that again this week. But first, if you guys want to get into the chat and have a talk with Jeff, give him a wave or whatever, you go to blogtalkradio.com. We podcast here live every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. GMT, and that's 3:30 p.m. Eastern in the United States. As they go to blogtalkradio.com, look for the white top center search box, type in English Defense League Radio Show or EDL Radio, follow the links, and if you are registered with Blog Talk Radio, you too can get into the chat and have a little chat with Jeff. And with that, Jeff, do we have anybody in chat right now?
We certainly do. We've got our very own Duck Northwest Media saying, giving us a thumbs up. Jeff Dangerman Mitchell, he's also giving a thumbs up. Duck Northwest Media is giving a thumbs up. Also, we have got Bigfoot, and he's saying, hi, Duck, Jeff, and Agador. So, yes, we've got two of our our dear friends in the chat this evening, Dave. How about that then? Back to you, Dave.
That's great, Jeff. And Bigfoot'sPlace.blogspot.com is where you can find Biggie's blog. Biggie, welcome. And, of course, welcome to Duck Northwest Media. We appreciate both of you guys. And, yeah, we're going to have us a show here. Okay. So, you guys know the background if you heard the show that we did last week. If you heard Jeff's show from there. And if you don't, I would highly suggest that you go and listen to that one because it's worth the listen. But what I'm going to do now, Jeff, with your permission, is I'm going to roll. We'll have this in three segments, by the way. I'm going to roll the fourth part here, the fourth segment that we created for the Phantom Rape Gang. And we'll get into this. Jeff, you ready?
Yeah, let's go, Dave. Rock and roll.
All right, guys. Now, mind you, this one was put out on this is a year a work that's taken over 2 years to complete. So, here we go, guys. This will be about 12 and a half minutes. You're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show. We continue with the Phantom Rape Gang.
So somebody wouldn't be put in prison on remand if the police didn't have any evidence.
No, no, they've got evidence. That's what I mean.
Yeah. So the evidence is there that something did happen.
Yeah. No, him. Oh, yeah. The evidence that they had was a Snapchat account from Jordan, which after their forensic accountants checked it, forensics turned out it was on Ellie's phone.
Yeah.
It wasn't Jordan's phone. So there was a Snapchat account in Jordan's name that was made on Ellie's phone.
And you have two Snapchat accounts, yeah?
Yeah, so basically, it looks like she set up a Snapchat account on her own phone in Jordan's name and sent herself messages from Jordan that makes it look like he's threatening her. So when they took Jordan's phone and took her phone, they've obviously thought it's Jordan. Look, evidence. Look, rape. And then, bang, 3 months later, once they've gone through all the stuff and actually checked, fuck.
Well, you know more than I do.
And as agreed, after speaking to Ellie's stepfather, we return to Mo Rami's house to hear his side of the story.
First of Ronnie, I said, Ronnie, you don't want me to be involved. Your family don't want me to be involved. I'll happily go home tomorrow and not talk about this case again, if you'd be honest with people about what's happened. And I said, what's going on with previous rapes? And he said, no comment.
He said,
no comment.
Absolutely crazy.
And then I said, I asked him, I'm going to have to run back through the footage. I think he's annoyed knowing about you, but then later on admitted knowing about you.
But they've known me for years. I used to drink three bottles of wine with you.
I think I said to him, do you know who the five people are? Do you know any of the five people? I'm pretty sure, I'll have to watch back because we spoke for a while. He denied knowing any. But then at the end then, when I was at the car talking, I think he told me then that he might know about Mo Rami. But he didn't know anything.
No, he's put it on the web. Do you think it's screenshots when I was in Holland?
Yeah.
It is put up. I can't talk about it. This man is involved in blah, blah. I can't say because I'm working. Was it before I can give screenshots? I can give you screenshots.
But then I did ask him at the end then. So at the end for me, it's like, listen, okay, so Jordan's life's been destroyed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of an accusation.
Yeah.
I said, what if Mo Rami hasn't done it?
Yeah.
He hasn't done it.
Well, What if he's not?
But my name's been slandered everywhere.
Yeah.
Like you said earlier, social justice and social trial by social media.
Trial by public opinion.
Yeah. Public opinion.
You know, like, what I said to the dad is true. So if we're to believe what's happened, then someone at school raped Ellie, another boy called Jordan beat her up and raped her, another man's raped her, and now a Muslim gang have raped her across all these towns.
Now, these alleged accusations with these photos that have been released on social media.
Yeah.
Which
have only come out after she's been charged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe two lads who said about he's in college locally.
Yeah.
He's fucked.
The eldest one has killed him last year. You know, because you look at your father as an idol, don't you?
Yeah, of course.
Your father's always the threat, the idol, isn't he? And your father's going through these accusations. It's not nice, is it?
Yeah. Sorry. And essentially, it's the reason that you are guilty without reasonable doubt in a court of law. It's because if there's a reasonable doubt, they're told I was not guilty. And there's a fucking reasonable doubt from the first spot of...
Well, from, since I've come up here, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Every day, I keep looking at that and saying, what's going on?
Yeah, but that...
Until today,
yeah.
I had no idea that you were one of the five people.
But yeah, my name is Placid.
I have no... Let me... I don't need a fucking left in the car. So I read, which is where... Have I read it or is it here? No, left in the car. Obviously, your name's Placid everywhere because of him.
Yeah, you're bloody dip, yeah.
We spoke earlier, you didn't get this. Do you want to explain that?
Well, yeah, through the town, everybody knows, 10 years I've been here, I've had businesses, always worked for me, on and off, 10 years.
Where's he from? What's he?
Leeds, originally, right? He was here before I was here.
Okay.
Right, they owned the Aisha takeaway or something, they had a few takeaways, I think I could open up the restaurant. I employed him on and off when I had wine bars, I had Italians, I've had all sorts. And I've had him work on and off. When I got the ice cream van 3 years ago, I employed him as a driver because my son was underage, he couldn't drive at the time, and he was working on one of the vans. The police come to us. We were at the unit working at the workshop, and CID came and said, this gentleman here in question is... accusations have been made, allegations have been made, we want you to be aware because of...
you know how many people allegations were made by?
One girl at the time, they said, but they can't tell me who it was or anything, obviously there's a girl that's been accused, so what are the accusations? But they said safeguarding issues, is an ice cream, it's under, and then obviously I'm not stupid, I gathered underage and all that, and they go, yeah, this, well, it's under investigation, and we're fair enough. Pulled the lad in. When somebody's worked for you for 10 years, you have a bit of trust in them, you have a bit of faith in them, he rented one of my properties. Told you that earlier.
22 cylinder.
Yeah. What's with somebody's got it smashed up?
There you were, your house. Has anyone done anything there?
Yeah.
Well, somebody tried to throw a brick at your boys, didn't smash the window.
The exhaust of the ice cream van.
Yeah.
Death threats.
Nails in. Oh, we've had nails in every car. Porsche car. Don't bring it up here no more. Got scratched. Cayenne.
Yeah.
40 grand motor. Crashed. Huh? Well, I've taken to my sister's.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just scratched all the way around the side. It's ridiculous. And I've not done anything wrong.
So him.
Yeah, so go back to him. Yeah, sorry.
Can I ask though, why are you showing a picture of him? Because is he one of the accused for Ellie Williams? I would say he's not. So why are we even asking about him?
I believe he's in trial.
For what?
For grooming.
You believe him?
Historical...
But not to do with this girl.
No, and I'm trying to picture him because the reason
why
everyone says your name, he's got a paedophile on his ice cream.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's got a paedophile. The police, two CID officers came. I can't remember the names. Well, I've got the cards somewhere, and they came and they said to me, we want to talk to you regarding him. You employing him? I went, yeah. Well, there's this issue. Will he be on the van on his own? I went, no. They told me a certain thing. I said, what do you advise me to do? Shall I get rid of him? They went, no.
Yeah.
No, he's innocent until proven guilty. I went, is there a case? They said, well, the girl that's making the accusations, known to the police.
How long ago was this?
Got about 3 years, 2 years. We're still at the unit, 2017.
Do you want a brew or anything, lads?
Because that's why your name's out there, yeah?
Yeah, that was it.
That's why it's out
there. But I did everything that the police advised me of, and when it got too out of hand, I went to all the Facebook and all the shit that used to come and affected them, and I went to the police myself. I went on numerous occasions, I went to the police, and I sat with that Inspector Jim Bailey, which... A lot of this hasn't been documented by the police, which I think is totally wrong. I think he should have documented it. There should have been logs of this. Me and my partner, I took in my children. I took in one of my English drivers, 60-year-old driver with my son. The van got attacked. Thinking, some words were coming out packies, some were coming out pedos. Bit of both it was. But it's kids, isn't it? You can't, what do you do? I did just a community resolution thing with them. And at the end, the police officer, the Inspector Jim Bailey goes, you know what? Why did you just put him on there? Take him off front line. That's what his words were. I was like, Hang on, 1 minute you're saying it's all right, then it's not a clear message you're sending me. You know, why can't you give me a clear message? I'm a very well-known person in this community. And it was just like, oh, yeah, we know all this and that, but it's not real, and it's not, they weren't, they tell you something, but they act professionally in the sense of, you know, safeguarding. There was such a safeguarding concern. They didn't act it, no.
Yeah, and that's how
I did that. Then, at the end, we made the decision. I thought, you know what, we're getting a lot of shit. We don't need this shit out of doorstep. Somebody else did it. Oh, that's sorry, mate. You've got a kid. You're going through a hard time. Whatever. Not my problem no more. You know, fuck off. You know what I mean? So I thought. I just realised.
You and Nick, when? We're going to have to go over this because we talked about it earlier.
Yeah.
In July last year, you were arrested for allegations by Ellie Williams of grooming her. Or not grooming
her. Not trafficking.
Not of raping her.
Not
taking her to different towns and cities.
Yeah.
How long of a period?
Apparently, the only thing that I got told it first happened when she was 13 and she worked for me, the Elephant. She never worked for me in the Elephant. I didn't even know her when she was 13.
I asked Ronnie if she ever worked at the Elephant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
Thank you very much.
I asked Ronnie.
That's in the police statement she said.
How she started, how she met him, was working for him at the Elephant.
That as well. Right, so let me read you this statement. There's a date on this statement. I've cut off the date, and for fuck's sake. Read this. This is from Jordan's case, which I need to get a day for. This was put to Williams as she made immediate denial and appeared to noticeably react for the first time since we arrived. Officers have attended the address of this male and determined he was not involved. Whilst inquiries were made into the male called Josh, Williams has become angry at the suggestion that officers would be attending his address and has started to text on her phone. I have been concerned that she was contacting Josh to warn him of police attendant and has said this to her. Williams has denied this and then handed her phone over to prove she was texting a female called Becca Hunter. PC Gray has then asked Williams about some names mentioned in messages on the phone. Williams has mentioned that some messages have been screenshot and sent to others previously. I then looked at the photo albums on the phone and noticed the thumbnail of messages, which has been the screenshot folder marked deleted. I've immediately seen a series of messages which have been sent to Williams, along with photographs of several injuries which she has suffered, including serious bruising to her arms, face and body, along with injuries to her lip and fingers. There have also been a series of screenshot messages from Snapchat, primarily from a username Rami. These appear to indicate that Williams has been the victim of frequent sexual and physical abuse at the hands of several persons. Most of the messages were abusive towards her and her being sexually assaulted, saying, "You've got AIDS now and you were fucked by 8 men. Some of them had the clap. Now you've got it," and things of that nature. The messages from the male Rami were very, very controlling and abusive and indicated again Williams may have been the victim of sexual abuse at his hands. That's what she had on the phone. No, this is a police officer's statement.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
This is a police officer who's took her phone. Now, obviously, you'd be on trial.
Yeah.
If the police had took this phone.
Yeah.
And these are your Snapchat messages.
I don't even have Snapchat.
Never had Snapchat.
I did have it when I said to you earlier. I had it when it first come out, and I couldn't figure it out. And that's it. I've never had it since.
So you've been nicked, questioned.
Yeah.
Raided.
Yeah, twice.
Phone taken?
Her phones, laptops, computers, work computers, previous phones, you know, the old phones, broken ones in their house, everything. I remember wife's lingerie, her stuff got taken, the car got taken.
And there you go. Welcome back to the English Fence League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. All right, Jeff. You're up, brother.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. Very interesting. The guy who's just talking, I trust him as far as I can throw him. It's something that makes me feel uncomfortable listening to him. I think he's I would say personally, and this is just me, ladies and gentlemen, this is just my way of thinking. I seriously doubt this guy was an innocent party in this. I believe that he was very much in control and controlled certain situations. That's the way I'm looking at it at the moment, and you guys out there, you might see it differently. I'd say it's just the way that I'm listening to this guy, and the way that he's talking makes me feel very uncomfortable with the way he's using the situation to make him look like he's an innocent person. No, I would say anything but innocent. You know, there you go. That's just that's the first part that I'd like to say. I just feel uncomfortable listening to this person speak, Dave, because I don't trust him as far as I could throw him. Let me pass it back to you, Dave, because you might see it a little bit different, and we all do, don't we, look at things, but that's the opening thing of the show, and I just believe in my heart that there's something very wrong with this person. I don't trust him as far as I'm trying, Dave. Back to you, mate.
Yeah, I think, everybody, just to clarify, what Jeff is talking about is the guy you first heard from when I rolled the segment there. That fella is Ellie's stepfather. And if you go back and listen to the previous show that we did, you hear more from this guy. And the more I hear him talk, the more slimy and evasive he seems. And he makes different statements. This is also in the previous show. He makes different statements from when Tommy Robinson has the camera turned on to when he has it turned off. I mean, the guy is very evasive, trying to throw out a lot of red herrings. You know, I mean, after listening to this guy, it's like, you know, there's almost as much of our finny friends laying around there as you'd find in the London fish market. That's kind of my way of looking at it. This guy just makes every spider sense of mine tingle, having grown up in an abusive home, having heard all the excuses that abusers give and everything of that nature. And this, by the way, is a very convenient excuse. Oh, well, you know, she was groomed and raped by Muslims. Now, that's a very real thing. But as Tommy Robinson is demonstrating, it isn't always 100% of the time true. Let's take this back to some of his previous documentaries that he's done. He will go after people based on accusations made by multiple young women and possibly young men who do not know each other. This is a completely different situation. The other times he's gone after these child sex trafficking gangs / grooming gangs. I just call it trafficking to cut down on the verbiage here. The previous times have been because there have been multiple accusers that do not know each other. This time is very different. There's one accuser, and she is well known to the police. And at the same time, there is this stepfather who is extremely evasive, and as Jeff says, he makes Jeff uncomfortable. He makes me uncomfortable. Again, you guys are going to have to make your own decisions about this because there's no proof of anything. But that is how I feel. And you can hear also in the rest of that segment the damage that was done because of these accusations. And if this was a real thing, if this was real Mohammedan child sex trafficking, Tommy Robinson would have gone after it that way. But it's different. And that is what makes this documentary different. Jeff, is there anything out of the chat, or do you have anything more you want to add before we move on to the next segment?
Just have a look. No, it's okay. It's just Ducks giving a big thumbs up to Bigfoot. So it's as I said, what me and Dave, it's just it's gut feelings. When you listen to people talk, there's a way that they do it. It's, you know, only likes to do it when the camera's up or on, whatever. and it's been divisive. He thinks he's pretty smart. That's what he does. He thinks he's pretty smart. Unfortunately for him, there's a lot of people like myself and like Dave that suss these people out. And you know what, as Dave said, he smells like a fish market. He's really, in my eyes, there's something really dodgy about this man. And that's me, maybe pure speculation, but listen to it yourself, ladies and gentlemen. Make your own conclusions. I don't push you one way or the other. I just ask you to listen to what myself and Dave listen to. And it's the first time I've heard this. So this is, as it's playing out, I'm telling you the way I feel about it personally, you know, being your radio host. So with that, Dave, back to you.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. All right. And we're gonna hit the second segment of this. All right. Now, this one here is only going to be about 10 and three quarters minutes. But, of course, it's all revealing. Now, you guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show.
This was all turned into a piece of journalism that could have educated the public on the truth. And people would have listened locally because it was me that was saying it. And, of course, some leftists had to ruin it all.
All right.
Good one.
Yeah.
Well done. What do you think of the rapes that are happening in this town?
The rapes?
Yeah.
I think they're awful.
Do you?
We can't put a singular race.
Who blamed a singular race, dickhead?
You.
When did I blame a singular race?
When?
Yeah, go on.
I don't think you weren't these races.
When did I blame a singular race? Do you know what a race is?
Yeah.
What's a race?
A religion.
Oh, a religion?
Yeah.
So I blamed a religion. I blamed a book for raping girls as well. Is that it? Have you come to do anything?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do?
What
are you going to do? Fucking little prick. Fucking little prick. You fucking mug. Spit at me, you fucking... You think you're fucking spitting me, bro? Fucking prick. Fucking... Don't do that, don't do that. You fucking little bitch. Get your fucking ass up before I fucking do you. Yeah? You've made... Yeah, well done. Well done, go on, mate. What are you going to do anything else? Spit at me again. 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 You spat in my face. Who the fuck do you think you are? Who spits at people? Spit at me again. No, you won't, will ya? You fucking little mug. I'm not looking at you talking like you're soft as fuck. You spat in my face. You spat in my face. You spat in my face.
Oh, wow.
You just learned a lesson in life, didn't you? Don't fucking spit at people, you little tramp.
Is assault.
Fucking tramp.
Spreading hate crime and it's not right.
Spreading hate crime? You just come up and spat in my face. Don't talk to me about hate.
After you started having a go about Muslims.
No, you had a go. You called me a racist. Yeah. I said, who am I racist against? You just learned a lesson in life. Don't fucking mouth off when you can't handle it. Take your sorry fucking arse and fuck off. You fucking bitch.
Me?
Oh, no, go on. Fucking little mug. Look at your body tire. Look at your face, yeah? Do you think it's acceptable you just spat in my face?
No.
So what do you think he was doing? What point did you think that's a good idea? And that's do you probably think yourself as a reasonable person?
Yeah.
Going up spitting in people's faces in car parks? Reasonable?
Don't hit you though.
What's that? You spat at me, you did hit me. Listen, shush. Do you think that's a reasonable? Do you think your behaviour's reasonable?
Reasonable to run over me with a car.
Who ran you over with a car?
Well,
no,
face.
They didn't.
Look, what's that?
Mate, you come up to me. You come up to me, did you not? You call me a racist and then you spat in my face. Mate, you fucking...
Film me, you don't have permission to film me.
You do, you're in the public, mate.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't...
I'm going to put that online. You're famous, mate. You are.
You've committed assault.
You've come up and spat in my face. You're going to be on TV. Everyone's going to see you. Do you think I wanted to punch you up? Do you think I want to just be in a car park punching and fighting people? Do you?
And you know what?
Do you know you say I'm a racist, bruv?
He's 30 metres away.
Stay 2 metres away, you just spat at me! You're worried about coronavirus, you just spat at me! You're fucking talking about coronavirus! You spat at me, bruv! You spat in my face!
You're on camera, do we?
Come on. Anyway, see you later. Mate, I hope you learn your lesson today. On your bike, son!
In my mouth now, I'll go over there and I'll spit at him. I said, no you fucking won't. I said, that fucking damn right.
You heard him say it?
I heard him say it.
I'm impressed with you, right?
And I'll tell you about it. I've got an Asian grandson, and my daughter was with an Asian lad, and she was with him a few years. He split up because he was accused ages ago.
Oh, God.
Oh, who? The Havana?
Yeah,
what's your grandson?
The one with, no, I'm not going to give you any names.
Do you know, because you know what'll happen here? I know, I'll get nicked here, but I'm going to...
You're going to get nicked by an eyewitness to it.
That's all I want. Yeah, thank you.
I'm going to do it. Send it on my elf. I'll give you my address.
Can I have your name?
Cheers. I was going to tell the police there. Hello? Oh, fuck, I'm getting nicked. Oh, I can see it, but they're asking for me. Yeah, someone's reported me. Liam's neck. Don't tell them I'm in here. Video, please, go.
Just tell them what to do.
You're getting called in nonsense as I walk out. Some girl just pulled up as I walked in, screamed racist to me.
Yeah.
Don't let them know I'm in here, Jez.
It's horrible. It's just ridiculous.
Relentless.
I'm going to get nicked. You fucking barrow.
I know.
Don't come out.
Don't come out.
It was a self-defense.
It is a self-defense because he spat at me, but then...
Did he spit at you? Did he physically punch you? Right, no, then you will get gone.
And then I'll punch
him. No, that's not. You should have spat at him and made him go for you first. No, that's my deploy, that. I'm taking a piss, let me.
Oh, I can't be dealing with it. Tell my missus.
The worst phone call that I ever loved. It wasn't me though. It wasn't.
You're on, mate. Look, what have you been here for? What are they placing under arrest for?
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
They've been it. They're both being arrested. You're under arrest for Section 4. What's Section 4 public order? Causing fear to people. What do walkers, the car, from money, they all done that. All right, mate.
So all of us. Done.
Have you ever been nicked?
Have you ever been nicked? Welcome to the team.
He's
only working for a week.
Oh, God.
Fuck you,
though.
I'm just working, though.
No, you can't get nicked. So, I went to Barrow. I was investigating child rape. I actually now have bail conditions. I'm not allowed to talk about anything to do with child sexual exploitation within Cumbria. Go figure. So basically we were arrested by the police. I was then given bail conditions not to enter Cumbria, couldn't talk or investigate anything further. I couldn't even contact, I was given a long list of names of people I couldn't contact in Barrow to investigate. Which is why we couldn't publish anything until now. I love living in a free country. Of course, the trial went ahead and the public have now found out everything that we knew 2 years ago. Ellie Williams is a liar. Of course, leftists jumped on this opportunity to claim that I was a snake and just doing this for money, whereas in reality, I was there to report the truth to all of you.
Stephen Lennon, a.k.a. Tommy Robinson, ran with Ellie Williams' grooming claims and in the process vilified the Muslim community in Barrow. Realising she lied, Lennon has tried to tow back, pretending he never believed her. But he can't undo what he did. I've never heard such rubbish in my life. You weren't saying this when you were barking your racist nonsense through a megaphone and demanding I explain myself. Were you, Tommy Robinson? What a load of nonsense this is. And I do have the evidence of what you said and did at the time. I never had a megaphone. I never done any of this. When asked to produce the evidence, guess what? Well, I'm not going to produce it. I'm not. It's like everything. Accusations after accusations. I've asked this local journalist to produce it. But of course, she can't. That's if she's not too busy being a coked-up smear merchant.
A high-profile Cumbrian journalist has been charged by police with possession of Class A drugs and driving while under the influence of drugs. Amy Fenton, the chief reporter at the Mail in Barrow, is due before magistrates next month. Neil Smith has more.
Amy Fenton was arrested on the evening of the 6th of March, having been stopped by the police on the M6 northbound near Junction 36. The 35-year-old from Dalton in Furness has now been charged by Cumbria Police of being in possession of cocaine, a Class A drug, and with driving a motor vehicle whilst unfit through drugs.
Worst of all is this government politician. Soon the vultures who make their money and reputations out of others' misery appeared. The far right were the most obvious, with Tommy Robinson whipping up tension still further in pursuit of justice being the icing on the cake. Soon my surgeries were peppered with families who had been torn apart by the allegations made against them and local people who feared for their and their children's safety due to the colour of their skin. This was unbearable. This is pure libel. Amazingly, all the libel is against me. Someone who actually went there to truthfully investigate and find out what had gone on. Not against Maggie Oliver, who was aware that it was a false claim but still continued to pump this story.
Yes, the parasites do love to jump on. Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff, what do you think about that segment, buddy?
Well, as I say, it's one of those sort of cases or what we've heard, horrible little leftist little turd comes and calls Tommy a name, calls him a racist and spits in his face and wonders why he gets a clip round here. And, everybody spits in your face. What are you going to do? Just stand there. So that was uncalled for. Now, like most of us, there would be an altercation. There's no doubt about it. I wouldn't have no spit in my face. And it's the most infuriating, because you don't know. The guy might have hepatitis B and God knows what else. It's just not right. Of course, as you can hear, as it's gone along, there's a lot more involved, trying to get Tommy nicked, this, that and the other. Because that was the whole idea, is to get him nicked. And, as we know, the normal story goes that they'll do anything to put Tommy away and to discredit him. But, there's a light that shines over Tommy's head. He makes himself a bit, tough because he's speaking the truth. And, it's like all these cockroaches, they scuttle into the darkness. Just like they are. This is what they do. And that's what we see. It just every time we hear these cases, you just feel it's the cockroaches once again stirring things up and trying to make a name for themselves. Fortunately, they are getting names for themselves, but they're getting a bad name for themselves because we all see through these people, don't we, Dave? And thank goodness for people like Tommy Robinson who shines the light on the truth. That's what we want. We love the truth. We love the truth. And so do you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure you do. With that, Dave, back to you.
Yeah, Jeff, I just want to say, man, that was a great point that you made about the little puke that spit on Tommy Robinson. What a lot of people don't know, because of the whole Wuhan adventure that we're still going through, quite frankly, is that laws against people spitting on others were enacted before all of that mess began. I mean, yeah, this guy could have had hepatitis. He could have had tuberculosis. He could have had any number of diseases that, you know, will be transmitted through fluids. Okay, so that's the reason that the laws have been enacted against spitting on other people, because it's recognized that, yes, you can transfer disease that way. And Tommy Robinson did, yes, as Jeff says, what I think any of us would have done. You know, he didn't just take a poke at the guy. He gave him a beatdown, which he deserved. And he asked him at the same time, and, you know, I love when he does this because it backs him into a corner. He said, well, which race, which specific race am I a racist about? Because here's the thing. Islam is not a race. Anyone can be a Muslim. I can be one, and I guarantee you, I'm so white, I use printer paper for camo, okay? You know, but I can be a Muslim. I could. You know, anyone of any skin color can be a Muslim. Islam is not a race. And guaranteed, you know, Jeff knows what racism is. He's seen the ugly, evil parts of racism where he lives. And I grew up in Texas in the 1960s and 70s. You better damn well know I know what racism is and what the evil of it is. But people use this racist appellation to apply to anyone that they don't agree with. It's either racist or white supremacist or whatever. And it means nothing, especially the word racist. All right, that is just done to shut people up. It's like, oh no, I don't want to be called a racist. Yeah, but against which race? Which race are they talking about here? And the point is that what Tommy Robinson does is he reports the truth, and it's an uncomfortable truth for the politically correct brigade out there, particularly the politically correct brigade in the press, in the media. Well, I just dated myself calling it the press, but it's the media. Just like Cokie Finocchi there, who put out that completely false report about Tommy Robinson. and then of course she gets busted for having a little nose candy. So we see once again the left doing what the left does, and basically not even caring about the people that they insist on getting loyalty from. So this was a very telling segment, and yet again, it shows what a good documentarian Tommy Robinson is. But, Jeff, it still raises questions for me. If the police knew early enough that these accusations were false, why didn't they just allow Tommy Robinson to search for the truth? There is still more here than shows above the water. And I'm going to throw it back to you. Do you have any further comments? Or it'll be about time for you to call in about 2 minutes. Take it away. Is there anything out of the chat, buddy?
No, nothing out of the chat. I'd just like to say that, I will sort of take a break in a second, but what I want to say is what we've heard, the racist tag, which has been thrown about for so many years, it's become so boring. When they throw it at you, and when you ask them, well, what is racist? What am I saying is racist? Especially the left, they just don't know. All they know is how to call your names. They don't define whatever it is they're trying to say because they're so messed up. A lot of them are coked up. As I say, that one who was appeared in court over the old nose cocaine which he was using, I mean, this is the type of people that is slandering Tommy. Putting the biggest nosed candy people out there. It just shows you the world that we live in. with these people, doesn't it? Like, I just want to say that. I'll pass it back to you, and then I'll just take a quick break. I'm actually all right, actually, in a few minutes, but I'm okay. And I will call back in a second. Maybe when you do the next segment, I could just call back in then. I don't, I'm okay for 5 minutes anyway. Just let you know, Dave.
All right, buddy. Well, guys, just to manage expectations, what we're going to do here, we're going to go ahead and play the final segment that we have. And that means that we'll be closing up shop a bit early. Reason that we're doing that is because we want this program and the previous program from last Sunday to be shared out. And we want this to be the main topic of the programs. Okay, because this documentary is extraordinary. And it shows that Tommy Robinson is not the caricature that the left makes him out to be. It shows that he is a man who searches for the truth. And that is something that both Jeff and myself appreciate, guys. So I'm going to go ahead and roll the last segment. It's going to be 13 and a half minutes long. And after that, we'll have final remarks, and then we will conclude the show. But this is going to be one worth sticking around for, guys. So I'm going to start this out. You guys are listening to the final portion of the audio, The Phantom Rape Gang by Tommy Robinson on the English Defense League radio show.
With Ellie now convicted and each of the men's names cleared, we sat down again with Mo Rami, the alleged leader of the grooming gang, to see how life for his family has changed. Mo, it's good to see you.
Nice to see you again, Tommy.
Looking at your T-shirt. You've gone. I was the leader of an international sexual auction grooming gang, and all I got was this lousy T-shirt.
Justice for Barrel Boys.
You've been cleared.
Indeed, I have.
Do you feel your name's totally been cleared?
No.
Do you feel, is there still a rumour mill around the town that this is still a cover-up?
Yes.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more justice needed.
This is what this lady's done. Yeah. This is what this lady's done. She's
you know, you're wearing this. Is this your way? Because when I met you at your house,
yeah,
when I heard how you've behaved in response to these accusations, it's sort of like, it's me. It reminded me of myself. It's what I'd do. I'd think, no, fuck you. And you're wearing this. You're smiling. You're laughing, yeah?
Yeah.
I want to get behind that. Because is that a front that you put on?
That is.
Because in reality, what has happened to your family? You're sitting there laughing, smiling now. You're probably feeling happy. But I've met your family.
Yes.
I looked at your sons.
Yes.
Then what's it been like for them?
It's been hell.
Yeah. How old are your boys?
My boy now, at the time, eldest was 18.
Yeah.
That self-harmed. I went to put him into an asylum to get him help. Yeah. The time he got arrested and done for drink driving, I phoned the police on him. And you know what the police did instead? Yeah. The 8 of them turned up to my house instead of going and getting my son.
When you rang him?
When I rang him. They turned out to go and get me instead. 15 miles, 20 miles down the road, when I told him where direction they're taking, where he is, Newby Bridge, that's where the fucking police went and got him. Instead, they sent 8 coppers to my house, and I committed suicide. That day, in front of my children, I smashed a bottle on my head. I've got the scars there. I'll shave my head. I'll show you, bro. I've got the scars. I was going to slice my neck. All that kitchen you see, I'm Nicola, my mate Jonathan, he was there. If he didn't grab my hand that day, I was a goner. I would have gone right in front of my children and my wife, man. That's the fact of it. That's what it's fucking done.
Your head was gone.
Yeah, it went pop. That was the one part time it went pop. Yeah. And that was in 2019.
Can you just read that out? Can you read that aloud?
Stephen Lennon, a.k.a. Tommy Robinson, ran with Ellie Williams, grooming claims, and in the process vilified the Muslim community in Barrow. Releasing, she lied. Lennon has tried to talk back, pretending he never believed her, but he can't undo what he did. From Nick Lowes.
Yeah, Nick Lowes.
Right.
What do you make of that?
I think that's bullshit. To be honest with you, I've had my opinion about you, Tommy. I've said that many times before to you. Yeah,
talked a lot about your religion.
Yeah, you know, that's fair enough. But you as a man, I've said it behind your back, and I say it in front of your face, and I'll say, and I've got ridiculed from my own Muslim community the further afield that I let you in my house.
Okay.
Right? I've had shit for that.
Yeah, yeah.
From my own. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But I still put that aside. I've got different your family. You know?
So your wife's family.
Your wife's family, wife.
Probably the white family give it worse than the Muslim family.
Probably, yeah.
And then
I thought, you know what? Before you come in, I'm going to give you just 2 minutes in this.
Yeah, yeah.
Before you come in, my children asked me, Dad, how do we treat him?
Yeah.
I said to him, like any guest that would walk into our house, what if they're your enemy, when they come to your door, this is our teachings, this is my father raised me, when they come to your door, somebody comes to your door, you treat them as a guest.
Yeah.
You come in, and you know what, I would say, that whether people say you're a journalist, you're not a journalist, you did it professionally. You did what you said to stand out to do, you did it right. I ain't blowing smoke up your ass.
No.
I'm being straight with you, man to man.
Yeah.
Right? And I was at the darkest point of my life, mate. I was at the bottom of the place, and you can be, it's the worst thing any man can actually burden.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
You know what I mean? It's like, and then the way it got plastered all over the internet, all over the social media.
Everywhere you walked.
Everywhere I walked, man, I knew I can't but put eyes on back of my head.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And it wasn't nice. It isn't nice. And especially when you get children and your businesses. And then we have to hide things. But coming back to that, it's, you know, I think I've got respect for you, mate, in the level that you dealt with me,
yeah.
Right? And you were, you did what you said to do, and you were an honest man. And I think I would, you know, I'd invite you to mine any day.
My job was just to find the truth. Truth, I mean, so I was just doing my job.
And I think you were the first one that actually did it.
Yeah.
And you would have been the first one, if it was actually true, to bring me down as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Like, the way you did it, you were doing thorough.
Yeah.
And you do thorough.
Now, they were letting me, and the fact that they didn't let me put anything out, meant it carried on for so long.
So long. And you could have, you know what?
I could have ended it.
You could have ended it.
Why not?
You could have ended it.
And I was about
to. You know what? I said to my mates and kids, you know what? I look at you sometimes and think, you're the Malcolm X of the white people of England.
I'll say that.
you know what I mean?
There's a lot of people going to be upset with hearing that. No, but you know what you're saying?
No, it's in the sense of having the following.
He said it!
No, but I'm just glad I can sit and laugh now. Because I've cried for so long, and I put that big exterior on. I put a big.
It's an exterior. I can do that when I walk out of your house.
I said
you can act as brave. You can be as funny and laugh. But I know what's going on
behind closed doors. You did, but I have to do that to protect my family, bro.
Of course.
Protect my name, protect my heritage, protect me.
Mm.
Right, and I did, and there's nothing. I like. Come on, I said I'm no angel.
Who is?
You know what I mean?
Neither am I.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They keep reminding me. Have you seen my Wikipedia page?
No.
What are you working on?
Partner.
Where's this go from now?
Now, this goes now is basically we're setting up the Holt Trust.
The what?
Holt Trust.
What's Holt stand for?
Holt is my father, Nicholas surname.
Okay. Nicola Holt, yeah, okay. Yep.
And the Holt Trust. Her and her friends, I didn't know how my wife were affected till after the convictions. We have all actually started healing now. Me, my children, everybody kept secrets, bro. Everyone, you know, she went and cried to her friends.
Family.
I'm crying on my own.
Yeah.
The boys are crying on their own, but to be united, that's what gives us the strength. The whole thing, yeah, that's gives us the strength, bro. To be able to, you know, but we all suffered. We all suffered, and you know, the friends have been there, and they've already got together. You know what? We weren't given no support. There was zero, honestly, God, zero support, and any counselling or any help from the council, the police, anything. We have a children, man. We have a boys, man. It's unfair, man. The good, well-mannered lads.
No, I met them. They were wonderful lads, man. When I met them, they were very polite, very nice. I remember the first time I saw you. I was hiding out the back of your ice cream van, man. I think he said, what the fuck do you want? That's what he said. What the fuck do you want?
You didn't, did you?
Well, bearing in mind, you must have felt under attack from everywhere, and then Tony Robinson's popping out from behind your ice cream van.
Yeah.
Just me.
I think I'm happy to put a picture of you up on that one.
I saw your son as well, and I tried to assure you.
That was horrible, man.
I'm just here.
You know, you've got me laughed through it, but I have to. And I'm that type of guy. I took it on head on. because I've got nothing to hide.
You're going to stay in Barrow?
I always said, we're always going to stay in Barrow till we've got a duty of care on our parents. My parents passed away in this ordeal. 2017, I lost my dad. 2021, I lost my mother. Right.
So your mother didn't get to see you cleared?
No. You know how? But you know what her last prayer was?
Mm.
Her last blessing to me, I said, on the last day I spoke to her, honestly, I said to her mum, I said, I'm under a lot of pressure. She was self-made, give me a massive kiss. And it's probably the longest hug of my life. Right? And that was it. She goes, it'll all be all right. It'll all be all right. And these so-and-sos put me through hell. I couldn't even... I'm not grieved. I'm not grieved for losing Nicholas' father. I was close to him. I lost my nephew, the knuckle draggers were punched. My nephew, outside my shop, I've got a video of it, he died in an M1 car crash last year.
They punched your nephew over all this?
Yeah, over all this, called him a pedo, and I bought him from Bolton to start up the ice cream business, man. He wasn't even there for a month, and he was a big lad, but just a giant haystack, but soft at heart, bro. His heart, you know, he was just a gentle giant, and them bastards punched him. Right? And they got away with it. They got away with it. There was an independent witness as well. They got away with it. Grasses.
And CCTV.
And CCTV. Grasses, mate. Grasses. Do you think I can forget that? No. I can't. I can't. You know, last August, M1, seven car pilot.
Car crash. How old?
23 years of age.
Oh, bro.
Set him up in his own business. Recoveries. You know, my sister. And he was the eldest son.
In the midst of it all.
Your dad we lost in 21.
Yeah.
And then the case we moved and moved. You know, he didn't see my name get cleared. You know, he said to Nicola, don't bring a coloured man home or a scouser. What did she do?
Bring a
coloured man or a scouser.
Who is your dad?
Yeah.
Or a scouser. Or a scouser.
They thought I was Italian as well. Then she's Italian. That's the worst thing was being a coloured man.
I found out some mad. You know, like Ellie. I walked into. We walked out of Mafali, didn't we? And some lad pulls up and goes, "Yes, Tommy." I said, "All right, mate, how you doing?" He goes, "Oh, fucking hell, let me talk." He goes, "I've followed you for years." I said, "All right." He goes, "I used to work with Ellie." I goes, "Oh yeah." I goes, "What's she like?" He goes, "Yeah, she was all right." He goes, "But she told everyone I was fucking her." I was like, okay. I said, was you fucking her? He said, no, I've never fucked her. So I went like, oh, fucking hell.
This is going to be an interesting investigation.
It's just more. Barrow MP Simon Phil.
Yeah. I've got a meeting with him on the 20th.
Okay, when you go to that meeting with him?
Right.
He said, soon the vultures who make their money and reputations out of others' misery appeared. The far right are most obvious, with Tommy Robinson whipping up the tensions.
I don't think you whip my tensions up for me. I will do.
Yeah.
I will, 100%. And
just let him know. And tell him, I said...
You helped.
If we're be honest, I said that. I said after the MEP elections and everything was going through, I used to say, I can't wait till he turns up.
Yeah.
I knew you'd turn up. I knew you'd turn up. And I said that. I'm going to tell you something. You're a man of a certain character.
Yeah.
You're a colourful character.
Yeah.
You've got a character.
Yeah, yeah.
I swear to God, because I was in Bolton, do you remember when you first phoned me?
Yeah.
I always had hair. I shaved my hair so I could look a bit thuggish.
It was unsuccessful. I'm happy for your family. I'm happy for you. I'm happy that they're in a better place, and I hope that everyone, your name's clear with it, everyone. It was nice to meet you, man. Your character. Your character. One of the final things we found out in our investigation while we were there was that Ellie Williams was having consensual sex with some of the Muslims she accused of trafficking her. This has now came out and everyone can read it from the court case. And now I'm back on Twitter, I can directly combat their lies.
It was the reason for cancelling me. It was the reason for censorship. So they could tell you who I am. So they could lie to you. You've seen lie after lie after lie by them. That I travelled to Barrow. You've seen MPs and media. I travelled to Barrow to incite fear against the Muslim community. I went there to investigate, to find the truth. Nothing else. You can see me for who I am. I'm someone that doesn't want to bullshit you. I want to bring you the truth and expose corruption at all levels. We're bringing you content no one else will. We need your help and we need your support. We have no big funders. If you can support our work, we're halfway through two more documentaries. We literally do not have the resources to finish them. Please sign up and help us, just the cost of a coffee. You can support us at www.urbanscoop.news/support us. Thank you.
And there you go. That's the end of it. Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff, your thoughts
well,
here?
It was an interesting conclusion to the video. I've got to say, it's good to see that Tommy's in the good book with a lot of people, even though you see the leftists hate him so much, and that will always continue. But as Tommy said, he loves the truth, and he will use the truth in every way he possibly can, because there's nothing better than telling the truth. It's the way that you shame those out there, and the conspiracy lot out there, and to shine a light on the cockroaches that causes these issues. And, you know, may his work continue always, because you need that light shining on corruption, which is so rife across this country. So may Tommy's work continue. He's a pretty awesome journalist. He's getting better and better as time goes by, which I knew he would. Like anybody that knows the way that he does things, he's got his own mindset about things, and got a great bunch of people that are working for him that's you know, covering it. You know, they take the same you know, they take the same things what happens to Tommy. Is a lot of them getting nicked because they're, you know, the cameramen getting nicked because they're part of what Tommy does. I've got my phone going at the moment, but I'm going to let it roll. Let's just see what it's doing. Yeah, well, I've got to let him roll at the moment, Saddam. but I've got to let that go. Anyway, I couldn't ask because otherwise it'd just spoil what I was trying to say. But anyway, let me pass it back to you, Dave. I'm glad that we did have this part two, because it showed so much of what we was talking about in part one. So part two is like the conclusion, isn't it? And it's very good. So let me pass it back to you, Dave, because it just threw me a little bit when I had a phone call going in the background. My apologies, ladies and gentlemen, for that. But anyway, Dave, back to you for your concluding thoughts of what you've heard and seen and heard, should I say, Dave.
All right, Jeff, yeah. Well, there's nothing like family and friends, especially when they forget that you're live and they give you a call. It happens to all of us. Well, of course, you can't do this because you do the show over your phone, but I turn my phone off when I'm about to hit the air, because inevitably somebody in my family or a friend is going to call when I'm trying to do my show. And
I should have done, Dave, like you said, I should have turned it off, and I totally forgot, because I didn't expect anybody to give me a call. Yeah, go on, Dave, sorry, mate.
Well, no, I was just going to say, I mean, while the opening bars of the Legend of the Heavenly Spheres, or Shirato, is very cool to hear, it's not very cool to hear that when you're trying to do a show. So, yeah, there's that. But, okay, as I said when we did part one, and I think this point needs to be reemphasized, none of this confusion, none of the false accusations that landed a young man, an innocent young man, in prison would have taken place if the UK government had taken these Mohammedan child sex trafficking gangs seriously and meted out some serious punishments for it, for participating in those and things of that nature. This is something that the UK government has known about for the past 40 years, and they've tried to cover it up. They've had one or two show trials. They put people in prison for like 3 years or something of that nature, when the lives of these young people that they victimized have been pretty much destroyed. They've said that anyone who talks about this and points out that for the most part these are Mohammedans is a racist, and they're on the far right, and they're basically one step removed from Hitler, which is, by the way, very ironic, because they are using Nazi-like techniques to try and silence people who are bringing attention to this problem in the first place. Tommy Robinson's goal, let's remember this, in this documentary, as in all of his documentaries, is that these young people be believed when they come out with credible stories of these outrages that happened to them. And the reason that he investigated this was to find the truth, and this was one of the rare occasions when the accusations were false. But it should always be remembered that the young people who make these accusations should have their day, if not in court, at least their day in honest investigation from police forces. And those who report on this sort of thing should not be harassed as Tommy Robinson has been harassed, imprisoned, attacked physically, things of that nature. This is a problem, quite honestly, that could have been avoided. But UK government policy did not make that possible. And that, by the way, is also the policy of the government here in the United States and in many other non-Islamic countries. There needs to be a change. And Jeff, I want to thank you for your brilliant commentary on this documentary. I want to thank Bigfoot and Duck Northwest Media for being in the chat. And finally, I just want to say, please check me out. I'm the Unpleasant Blind Guy at Spreaker.com. And my shows come on at 1 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States, Monday through Friday. That's 6 p.m. in the U.K. And I have shows that are, you know, new to you starting at midnight on Saturdays Eastern in the United States. And that's 5 a.m. on Saturdays in the UK. You guys can also find me on Thursday nights. I have a segment with Ken McClinton on the Exceptional Conservative Show, hosted on TECN.TV. That's where you go to find the Exceptional Conservative Show. And that's about 2 a.m. in the UK and after 9 p.m. Eastern in the United States. And for those of you who can't catch those segments, they are available on the TECN.TV Rumble page. So I just want to say to everyone, be prosperous, be blessed, and no surrender ever. And Jeff, the jam is up on stage and ready to go. You just holler.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Yeah, I just want to say thank you to everybody that's listening in tonight. And, of course, our very own Bigfoot, and our other dear friend that we got here, Duck Northwest Media, for following the show tonight and being here with us. It's always great to see these great gentlemen join us. So, we'll have another good show next week. As I say, this is the two-part. We concluded it this evening, and we done our commentaries of the way we saw things. And as I say, and it gives you food for thought as well. so that you might want to watch it again just to see something that was jumping out. You maybe you want to go back and check on it, because that's what it's all about, isn't it? But once again, I've got to thank you all for joining us here, wherever you might be, whatever part of the world you might be. We appreciate you all, and really are thankful for you guys as well. So with that, I'd like to say to Dave, if you'd like to do the honours for this evening, I just want to say, you take care, guys. Have a good week. Stay safe, and let's not forget, no surrender, ever. And with that, Dave, let me pass it back to you. Okay, mate. Over to you.
Good
night,
everybody. Good night, mate. Cheers, people might say my life has been a wreck. I'm quite happy as I got. People might say that I should strive for more. But I'm so happy, I can see the things happening here today. A show of strength with your boys brigade. I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course, and of mine. My nuclear test was far from its prime. Then the public gets what the public wants. Might need some attention to relax me. I'm too busy dodging through the facts. Here's what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your lead and the place you're trapped. And the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper, rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up.
There you go. Thanks a lot, guys. We'll see you again the next week. Yeah, I'm just going to say, right next to everybody, this is the English Defence League radio show signing off for tonight, and we'll see you again next week with another episode of the English Defence League radio show. So with that, take care, stay safe, and not forgetting, no surrender ever. Good night. God bless all. See you next week. Bye-bye.